Your new series today. This year is our year of becoming wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I know it's April now, so sometimes when the topic or the theme of the year, as the year goes on, we need to be reminded of what we are praying to God or what we're hoping to God to develop into. This is our year of becoming wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the title of today's message is actually straight from Prophet's book, How to Become Wise as a Serpent. I believe it's chapter 6 of Prophet's book, but it says, the title for those of you taking notes is How to Develop Inner Power, or if you want another title is How to Become a Master of Inner Power, right? A Master of Inner Power. So to become as wise as a serpent or as wise as a snake, when you study the life of snakes, So you may ask, what wisdom does a snake have? And if you're curious about that, I would go through the book, because the book goes through an extensive breakdown of why snakes are wise, like why the animal, the snake, why when you study them and you look at their characteristics, they actually have a lot of wisdom to them. If you look at Prophet's book, there are over 23 chapters in the book about why snakes are wise. And snakes are masters of many things that many of us struggle with, right? Snakes are masters of, aside from being snakes, snakes being masters of inner power. You know, the book says that snakes are masters of things like survival, contentment. Many of us struggle with contentment. Patience, many of us struggle with patience. Frugality, snakes are masters of managing what they have. Some of us are really struggling with being frugal. Hiding and flourishing, self-defense, overcoming demons, reputation, living peaceably with all men, masters of speed, masters of being unpredictable, masters at working with others, masters at working alone, masters of radical change. I mean, these are all things that snakes have mastered. And the book goes through an extensive breakdown of why snakes are masters at all these things. So today we're just taking one. How to Develop Inner Power, or How to Become a Master of Inner Power. It's actually chapter, and if you have the book with you, it is actually chapter 3. Yeah, chapter 3 of the book is how to become a master of inner power. So to become as wise as a serpent is to work on what is within you. Yeah, a lot of us spend a lot of time developing our outward appearance. We care a lot about the outward appearance. We go to the gym. We buy clothes, we think about a lot about our outside, but many Christians don't take time to develop what is within them. And if you were a part of, one of the series we preached last year, I believe it was last year in August. I don't think many of us were not here at that time, but First Love, we actually preached a series around that time about the inner man and how to develop your inner man, or exercising your inner man, you see? And because the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. Right? So when you exercise your body, when you care a lot about what you are on the outside, it actually profits you very little. So I want to encourage us to focus on what is within us, right? And when I went through that series, we talked about how every human being, every man, every person that's here today in church, all of us here, so Elizabeth, Antoinella, Ty, Jody, all of us here, as we look at each other on Zoom, I mean, we may look at each other and feel like, oh, we're just floating heads. But every person here is also made up of three parts, right? So every human being has three components. Whenever you see them, they have the flesh, which is what we see. They have the soul, and your soul is your intellect, right? Your intellect, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, and your spirit. And, you know, recently about the soul, someone asked me about the soul. Do I believe in soul ties? And the person was asking me, do I believe in soul ties? Because they feel as if the term soul ties implies that it's like a long-term thing, because your soul goes to heaven. So it's a long-term thing. And I had to, I think it's a blessing to be a part of this church where we have someone like our prophet who explains these things to us in his books, in his preaching, because I actually had to explain to the person that I do believe in soul ties, because if if the soul tie, well, if your soul is where your emotions and intellect and those things are, then yeah, something can be tied to your emotions. Something can affect you that changes the way you think or the way you feel or the way you make decisions, because your soul is your emotions and your intellect. It is not what will go to heaven. You see, your spirit is what will go to heaven or hell when you pass away. Your spirit is the inner man. Your spirit is your inner power, and your spirit is the one that needs developing. But your soul is also important. That's why, you know, because when I gave that explanation to the person, they said, okay, that makes sense. But then why do we say things like, well, we need to win souls? Or why do we sing songs like a soul is a soul and it's precious to God? And I told the person that I had never thought of it either. But when the person asked me, I also thought to myself, you know, maybe we say win souls or a soul is a soul that is precious to God because your soul is where the person's intellect is. So when we want to win someone to Christ, we want to change how the person's thinking is. So that's why the Bible says that, that we want to turn the hearts of men. If we want to turn the hearts of men back to their Father, it is really by the soul that we do that. Yeah, that's why we say, we don't say the term win spirits. We say that we want to win a soul because we want to win someone's emotions. We want to change someone's feelings about Christ. We want to change someone's thoughts and mindset about Christ. Amen. So the spirit is the inner man, and the spirit is what needs to be developed. The spirit is what we must focus on. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says here, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. So what you set your eyes on, if you set your eyes on your flesh or on the physical body, on your physical life, then you are making a mistake, because the Bible is saying that what you can actually see is all temporary. But what is unseen, which is the inside, the inner man, the spirit man, what is actually unseen is what is eternal. And that is where we should set our eyes on. That is where your focus should be on, is developing your inner man, right? What is coming from within you? It's unfortunate, but people place too high of a value on things that are not important. Yeah, people place too high of value on a lot of things that are not important. If you are a student and if you are in school, your focus semester by semester should be on that semester. But some people are in this semester right now, and they are thinking about next spring semester. Why should you be focused on next spring semester when you have fall to go, possibly summer, possibly winter, and you are focused on next year spring? And they are thinking about what classes they need to take next year spring. But you don't even know what you would finish with now or in the fall to make it there. So if you are, or if you are living day-to-day life, let's say you are a worker, and you are just going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home. If your focus is not on the right thing, and if your focus is putting values on the wrong thing, you can very easily blow and waste a lot of money. Many people have a problem with managing their finances or managing their money because their value on things is off. Their value on what is important and what is not important is off. If you are maybe working and just doing day-to-day life, your value on what you are going through each and every single day should be on your next goal. Yeah, your next target, what you want to do next. So many people struggle with routine, or they feel like, they have a routine, or I'm stuck in a rut. Like, as I'm sure many of us have heard that term. The reason why a lot of people feel like that is a lack of setting goals, setting what is next. What am I doing next? What am I working on next? Yeah, you must always have in your mind, what is next? What is the next thing I'm doing? What is the next project I'm on? Whether it's in your life, it's in your church life, it's in school, it's in with anything you are doing, you must always be thinking, what is next? Yeah, and that will help you to put the proper value on what you need to focus on now. So your inner man, what is coming from within you, or what is how to develop what is within you? Mark chapter 7, verse 20. If we can turn our Bibles there, please. Mark 7 and verse 20. Yeah, verse 20, please. I think verse 20 or 21. Or do we not have it? Okay. If we don't have it, then I can also read it. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. Mark 7, verse 20, the Bible says, so this is Jesus speaking, these are the words of Christ. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. Verse 21, for it is within out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Yeah, it is out of your own heart that evil thoughts will come. Evil thoughts will come, sexual immorality, theft, murder. Verse 22, I think we have that verse, please. Yeah, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewd. Lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, all these evils come from inside and defile a person. So all these things that we see people doing, and maybe we hear about it on the news and we judge them or we think about them, all come from what? Inside of your heart. So you see, it's very important to work on what is within you. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 1 that every man is dragged away by their own evil desires. And according to this verse in Mark, it is saying that what is within you is what is going to lead you and defile you. Yeah, verse 20 says, these are Jesus's words speaking, saying that what comes out of a person is what defiles them, like what is within you. So you see, it is very important to work on what is within you. If you focus on the fact that maybe you're struggling with sexual immorality, that isn't the focus. The focus is what is within me. Why am I struggling with that? Is it how I'm thinking? Is it how I'm processing things? Is it how I'm making decisions? Like, what is causing me to struggle with that thing? Because something is causing me to struggle with it. And it's not always the outward. We spend a lot of time focused on the outward. But like the verse we read says that you know, we set our eyes on things we should be setting our eyes on things that are not seen, because those are eternal. Yeah. And what is within us are the things that we are bringing out of us. The sins we are struggling with are because of what is within us. Yeah, many times we're shallow on the inside. So that's why we're struggling with some things again and again, because we're shallow Christians and we're not really deeply rooted Christians in our own personal walk with Christ. That's why we're struggling again and again. Many of us don't regularly read our Bible or have quiet time. That is why we are struggling with the same thing again and again. So if you are struggling with greed, for example, or if you are struggling with envy, jealousy, for example, let's say you are struggling with jealousy. Okay, if I want to stop jealousy, the way to stop my jealousy problem is stop looking on Instagram at some people's accounts and admiring them. That isn't the problem, because then your jealousy would just switch to something else. The problem is, what is within me? Why am I struggling with this? Why haven't I been able to overcome this thing that's within me? Something within you is making you jealous. It's not the Instagram that's making you jealous. It's the inside that's making you jealous. Amen. So if we want to focus on how to develop that inner man, we want to focus on working on these things that are within us. And what are the things that we should be turning ourselves into? Are the things that we should be praying and asking God and working on to develop on the inner man? Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Yeah, the power that comes from within you, or the things that come from within you, you know, they can really affect us and they can really determine our lives. I was talking with someone recently, and as the person was speaking, they were talking a lot about, you know, their problems, and they were talking a lot about things that they didn't understand 3 or 4 years ago, but they understand today, and things that they value today. Like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, some things that they would hear in church, some things that their pastor would say to them, it would go in one ear and out the other, and they would just live and do things how they want. And then now, 3 or 4 years later, they look at those things they did, and they have not only become regrets, but those same things that the person did have now becomes the very things that the person values. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, everyone's life is really determined by the way we are thinking. Like at a certain time, like right now, as I'm preaching this message on how to develop your inner man, some of us may take it and say that, wow, I need to start working on my inner man. I need to develop myself. Some of us may take it and may go in one year, not the other. But you see, in 3 or 4 years, you may come back to this message and hear this message again and think to yourself, wow, if I had started then, where would I be today? If I had valued it at that time, what would I be like today? Yeah. So let's have the proper value on things. Let's put the proper value on things in our life. Let's try and see the importance of things early. Because some people hear something and they value it early. And some people hear the same message and value it later. And when you value things after the mistakes have been made, it's different than when you value it before you have a chance to make the mistake. I feel like I'm saying something, but you guys are quiet. Galatians 5:22, it says that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Next verse, please. So I think this is it. So yeah, the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit are what is actually going to turn our, to change how we are on the inside, right? So what are some of the things that we should be working on, right? A big one is love. Yeah, we should be working on showing love to others. Are you filled with love? True love, not love just for people that you are close to, but love for all men, as the Bible says. Peace. Are you actually a peaceful person? Yeah. Do you love to argue? Do you always find yourself in arguments with friends, your parents, your family members? Are you always just in a fight? It's a problem. Forbearance, kindness. How kind are you? Yeah, many people are not truly kind. Are many people that you see on the outside and they seem like, wow, this person is so nice, so gentle, so soft, you know, so kind. It's just an outside appearance. So it's just something you're seeing on the outward. But when you really get to know them, once you really get to see the person on the inside, you'll see that, wow, they're not kind at all, really. They're truly not very nice. Many people we think are nice, get to know them, you realize they're not nice at all. Mercy. Gentleness, right? How gentle are you? Are you gentle with the way you speak with people? You know, are you gentle with the way you talk to people? When your parents upset you, are you gentle in the way you respond to them? If you have a friend, are you gentle in the way you speak with them? Yeah, gentleness is a big one. Many people get into disagreements or get into fights because our responses to things are not gentle. We don't take time to think about what we say before we say them. And then self-control, right? Yeah, self-control. Are you able to control yourself? Are you able to control your flesh? Are you able to really control, bring down your flesh, bring down the things of the flesh, your evil desires, your lustfulness, your pridefulness? Are you able to control that part of your body or that part of your mind that may lead you to go do something, right? So if we are going to develop, if we go back to Mark 7, please, Mark 7, verse 22. So you see all these things here on the screen: adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these things, if we want to be able to control these things, right? Things like lust, pride, all these, if we want to be able to control these things, the answer to how to control these things is given in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. This is where the fruits of the Spirit are. Galatians 5, 22. Yeah, the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to be able to control all those things. Right. The key or the answer to that is praying about these things, right? Praying about these things again and again, again and again, praying about love again and again, praying about, am I, God, make me into a peaceful person again and again. Don't just assume that you're naturally peaceful. Pray about becoming peaceful. Amen. And God will work on you. So I'm going to give us some keys, some points for those of you taking notes, how to develop your inner power by investing in your spirit. I'll read that again. How to develop your inner power by investing in your spirit, right? So you can invest in many things in this life. You can invest in your outside life. You can invest in your education. You can invest in your finances. You can invest in your relationships, right? You can invest in many things, but many people, unfortunately, many Christians do not invest in their inner power, do not invest in their spirit man. Yeah, and I think personally in this church, we are blessed that we have someone like our prophet who has given us so many resources for free. You know, when we think of investing, we may think of putting money in and gaining something out. Our Prophet has given us so many resources for free to invest in our spirit. We have something called the Makanat, which is a compilation of all the camps our Prophet has ever preached. It's his every single camp he's ever preached, all in one place. You can find almost a message there about any topic. And then last year during the pandemic, our Prophet was kind enough to release something called the audio catalog, which now takes not only all of his camps and separates them by topic, it also takes all of his Sunday preaching ever. Can you imagine all of the flow recaps that we listen to, all of the flows that we join every Sunday? There is somewhere that you can go and actually access every single Sunday preaching our Prophet has preached, maybe in the last 20 to 25. You can find messages there. Recently, I was listening to a message there, and at the end of the message, Prophet said something, and he said 1996. So I was listening to a message from 1996, and I thought to myself, I was born in 1996. Like, I'm listening to a message from a year that I was born. So, you know, I just think it's a blessing that we have such access to all those tools. We have such access to all those things to listen to. And for anyone who wants the Makanah, if you want the audio catalog, if you want even the Makarios, all the books, the many books that our Prophet has written, if you want access to any of them, you know, just message me after church. For those of you who have my number, just text me and I'll send you all of it. I'll send you the Makanah, all of it, because we have been given them for free to be able to invest in our spirit. Amen. So how to develop your inner power by investing in your spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Wow. Whoever sows to please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. Yeah, very straightforward verse. If you sow only into your flesh, if you invest only into the fleshly things of this world, you will reap destruction. But when you sow into the spirit, when you sow into your spirit, you will actually reap eternal life. Like, you will actually reap heaven. What is the profit? You know, a lot of people during the pandemic started doing investing into the stock market and looking for rewards, looking for gains and making gains and all of that into the stock market, right? You put money in, you wait a few months and you would make a big amount of money, hopefully. Amen. So yeah, like that is how the stock market will work. But when it comes to your soul, or when it comes to your spirit and to heaven and with God, the way you will reap a reward is by investing there, is by sowing there. And what is the reward you will reap? It's not money. The reward you will reap there is actually heaven. So when you invest in prayer, when you invest in books, when you invest in listening to messages, the effect of those things will change you in a way that, wow, you will actually, the reward or the profit you will make is heaven. So I want to encourage us to push ourselves in that direction, right? Push ourselves to be invested in the things that will actually help us to reap eternal life. Amen. So the first thing that we can, you know, invest in to develop our inner power is develop inner power by having regular quiet time with God. Amen. Yeah, having regular quiet time with God. It is something that you must develop yourself into, praying regularly each and every single day. So you may be asking me, well, what is a quiet time? What is a quiet time? You know, how do I do my quiet time? Your quiet time is your personal one-on-one time with God each and every day. And for those of you who maybe don't do a consistent quiet time right now, or maybe you struggle every day to read your Bible, you know, I would encourage you to direct you into the path of the Bible plans on the Bible app. So number one, everyone should have the Bible app on their phone. But if you don't do a consistent quiet time, or maybe even the idea of a quiet time is new to you right now, completely brand new to you right now, I would tell you, and the first step I would tell you to take, since I'm not speaking with you one-on-one, is, and if you would like more details, you can obviously message me, but the first thing I would suggest to you is to have the Bible app on your phone and to pick a plan. So when you have the Bible app, you can actually find a Bible plan. And I would suggest you to pick a plan that works for you, something that you're interested in, and dedicate every day just 30 minutes, you and God. Many people talk about, recently I heard someone say, I had my quiet time today for 6 hours. Wow, it's powerful. But if your quiet time today was for 6 hours, it's great and it's powerful. But for some of us who maybe are developing and who maybe are trying to just become consistent, I would recommend to you that you shoot for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, and you'll see that it's a difference. 30 minutes of prayer every day. 30 minutes of accountability, even if you need to set an alarm on your phone, if you need somebody to check on you. You know, there's some of us in the church, we have a group where we actually check and we hold each other accountable about our quiet times. And I believe it's been helping us to actually develop the practice of having it each and every single day. So I would encourage you that if you need the accountability and you need somebody to hold you accountable, also message me and let me know. And it's something that we can talk on and work on. But Jesus himself, right, what he had a regular quiet time. If you read in Luke 22 and verse 43, it says, and an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. When Jesus had his quiet time, an angel actually appeared to him, like something actually appeared to him. And by having your quiet time, I'm not saying that, you know, if you have your quiet time once, you will have an experience with an angel. But what I'm saying is that by having a quiet time, you actually invoke God to move in your life. You actually invite God to move into your life. So yeah, I would recommend us to push us into that direction. As many of us know, you know, the God of this world, the God of the world that we are living in, unfortunately, is the devil. So when you don't pray, when you don't open yourself up to God, your life is directed by just anything that can happen to you. So that's why your quiet time is very important. I remember when I first joined this church, when I was maybe 16 or 17, the first book I ever read from our prophet was How to Have an Effective Quiet Time. And I remember reading the book, and I was like 17 or 16. And I remember towards the end of the book, prophet said a sentence that I always think about. He said that your quiet time may very well be your passport to heaven. Like you're like developing that part of your Christian walk may very well be your passport to heaven is the quiet time. It's not serving God. It's not winning souls. It's not your ability to sin or not. It is the quiet time that may very well be your passport to heaven. So I pray that we're all able to practically develop the art of having a quiet time. Amen. So the next thing to invest in for your inner power is pray in tongues, right? It's to be able to pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:4, as we move on quickly. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. So anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. If you were to read this verse, another version, the word edifies means to build up yourself. So when you pray in tongues, you build up yourself. You actually develop the inner man, right? Because your tongues, when you pray in tongues, your tongues is not something that you can understand. It's only or we can even understand. It's only something that is direct communication with God and you. And I would advise everyone, and I would encourage everyone, you know, if you don't have a desire to pray in tongues, let's talk about it. Reach out to me. Let's have a conversation about this desire to pray in tongues. It's something that should be that every Christian should have a desire to. It's okay if you can't today. But every Christian should have a desire to, because there are some practical benefits to praying in tongues, such as you are able to build up yourselves. Another benefit of praying in tongues is that the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, you speak in an unknown language and you pray mysteries. So when you are praying in tongues and you hear somebody praying in tongues for hours, the person has no idea what they're praying about. The Bible says you pray mysteries. So sometimes when you're praying in tongues, for those of you who pray in tongues, you may just be speaking in tongues, and you may have a certain topic in mind, but you may actually be praying about maybe something that will affect your life 2 years from now, something that will affect your life. Because the Bible says that you pray mysteries. So, you know, you may not be thinking about what is going to happen in 2 years or 3 years, but because you are praying in an unknown tongue, and because the tongue is driven by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you will be praying about mysteries. You may be praying about who your children will marry, because you have no idea. You may be praying about where your parents will be in 2 years, about where your life will be at in 5 years. Yeah. So sometimes it's important to pray in tongues, because tongues help us with that. Tongues help us to understand. Tongues help us to pray about things that we may never think to pray about. Sometimes you may be praying in tongues, and you may be praying for God to heal you from a disease you haven't experienced yet. Something that may come in the next 10, 20 years into your life, maybe when you're in your 60s or 50s, some healing that you may receive in your 50s may have been led by some tongues you prayed in your 20s. but you would have no idea. So I want to really encourage us to develop the tongue speaking part of our Christianity, to desire that, as it is a great way to develop the inner man and to develop your inner power as well. The Bible says that you edify yourselves. When it says you edify yourselves, the self is not my physical self. It's my spirit man that is edified when I pray in tongues. Amen. The next way to build up your inner man is to meditate on the word of God. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word of God. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Amen. Meditate on the law or on the Bible day and night. So how do you meditate, right? Or what is the key to meditation? The key to meditation, I'm going to give us the key today to meditation. Let's read a few verses. Psalms 119, verse 15. A few verses about meditation. And I want you to pay attention to all these verses and you'll see a consistency about meditation. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Psalms 143 and verse 5, please. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. This is King David, by the way. He's saying that he meditates on what the Lord has done. The next verse, Psalms 4 and verse 4. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. If you read this verse in another version, I actually want to read this verse in another version. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4. If you read this verse maybe in the King James, this is NIV. If you read it in the King James, it says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. Yeah, commune with your own heart. This is the verse I wanted. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Yeah, commune with your own self. Like commune with yourself. Psalms 119 verse 11, please. So there's a theme. If you're paying attention to these verses, there's a theme that I'll say at the end. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wow, I have hidden your word. All verses about meditation. And then Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. So what is the key to meditation, or what is the key to practically meditating on God's word? I don't want us to think of meditation as a spooky thing or as something that we can never do. The key to meditation is simply isolation, like being alone. In order to meditate effectively, you must separate yourself from everyone. You must remove yourself. That's why this verse says that when you pray, so prayer is also a type of meditation. It says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Yeah, like to properly and effectively meditate, to properly and effectively meditate on the word of God, go into your room and close the door. It's you and God now. Yeah, in order to properly meditate on God's word, that's why the verse we read in Psalms 4, verse 4, it says that commune with your own heart. Like you alone and your God, you alone in what is in your heart, you alone in what is in your mind. Isolation is the key to meditation. You must be alone. You must be one-on-one by yourself and in prayer with God or reading the Bible. And when you read something that is interesting, when you read something that sticks out to you, then you highlight it. That is all meditation. Meditation is not just sitting in silence and thinking in thoughts. Meditation is also when you're reading the Bible, you highlight something, you make a note about something. All of those things are a form of meditation, right? And meditating on the word of God, it sticks with you. Psalms 119, verse 11, please. When you meditate on the word of God, it sticks with you. When you read something and it helps you, or you read something and it's like, wow, I didn't even know this verse was there. It sticks with you. You know, the Bible says here, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yeah, I have hidden your word where? In my heart. Many of us, the sins we are struggling with is because we have been hidden God's word in our heart. Wow, I'm being blessed by this verse, actually. When you when there's a sin in your life that you're struggling with, or a sin in your life that you haven't been able to overcome, it is because we haven't truly hidden God's word in our heart. If God's word is actually hidden in our heart through meditation, there's some sins we won't do. It just won't happen. Like, we won't actually make the mistake. No matter what your flesh is doing, and you won't do it. The Bible also, the same person who wrote this verse here in Psalms 119 is King David. The Bible says that King David observed all the laws of the Lord. He obeyed everything except in one area, but he obeyed everything except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. He obeyed every law. So he did not really, so it's actually possible to be a strong Christian and to be able to hold yourself accountable and to not sin against the Lord. It's possible. I know many of us think it's impossible, or we think we'll always be doing it, but it's possible to actually become like that, because we have people in the Bible who we can see became like that. We have examples. Don't think of David as some spooky figure who is like so blessed. So no, he was just a sheep boy. He was just watching sheep. He was just somebody who was just watching sheep. That's it. When he was chosen, he wasn't some spooky person that was always appointed and anointed. No. So yeah, any of us can be just like David. Any of us can have a life just like him. David had one area of his life that he struggled in, and that may have been with controlling his flesh when it came to something like lust. But the Bible says that he observed the laws of the Lord in everything. And we can make a direct connection. We could very well make a direct connection that David was able to be a successfully strong Christian because of his meditation with God, because of his private relationship with God. So I want to encourage us to also seek God in that way, to seek to become people who meditate on God's word, and I believe we'll be blessed. And then lastly, protect your heart from evil contamination, right? So we're talking about your inner man or your inner power. Protect your heart from evil contamination. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows. If you read that same verse, the Proverbs 4 verse 23, you read it in another version. I believe that's NIV. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Many of the issues that we have in our life, many of the issues we are struggling with, you know, it comes from our heart. Yeah, I'm being blessed by the connection between our heart and God's word. Yeah, like, it comes from our heart. The things that we are struggling with come from within us. They actually come from your heart. Yeah, so that's why the Bible is encouraging us to guard that thing, guard your heart. Yeah, that's why, ladies, you shouldn't easily just give your heart away to any boy. Because it says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You shouldn't just easily give it away to some boy. Because a lot of ladies have been broken, as in changed forever, because of this verse. Because they gave their heart away to a boy that didn't deserve it. Too quickly. Too with too much speed. With too much generosity. Be more cautious. Be more frugal with the way you give away your heart to people. And even in friendships, some people have changed friends again and again because they feel as though that maybe they give more than the person gives. It's because you don't guard your heart, because the Bible says that for everything you do flows from it, including how to develop your inner man. It flows from your heart. What is within you, right? What is within us is what is going to develop our inner man. Amen. So let's have a quick, at this point in time, let's take a few moments to pray. Just close your eyes and bow your head wherever you may be, and pray for your inner man, right? Pray for your heart. Pray for the connection between God's word and your heart. Pray that you'll be more careful with our hearts. Yeah, pray that we'll be more cautious with our hearts. Pray that what we are struggling with, we will be able to overcome by developing your heart and by developing your inner man. Just take a few moments to pray. Father, we thank you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives and where you are taking us. Lord, I pray for our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we'll be more generous, that we'll be more careful with our hearts, God, that we will not be as generous. We will not be as free, Lord, with our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to be diligent in keeping our hearts, to be diligent in keeping ourselves, Lord. Help us, O Lord, to remember. Lord, help us to remember the things you have done for us. Oh God, help us to become stronger Christians. Help us to become people who will meditate on your word. Help us to remember, Lord, not to just invest into the outward man, but to also develop and invest into the inward man. Help us, oh Lord, to develop what is within us so that we may have the true inner power. Lord, your word says that it is from what is within a man that defiles him, Lord. I pray, God, that what is within us will be good, that we will develop what is within us so that it may be well within us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So at this time,